His parents answered this way because they were afraid of the religious leaders, who had agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So for a second time, the religious leaders called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, Jesus heard that they had driven the man out, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him."
"You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he."
"Lord, I believe."
"The kingdom is full for judgment, so that those who do not see you may see, and those who do not see you may become blind."
The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. That could have been the song of the man born blind. We're told as Jesus was walking, he saw a man born blind. He did not continue walking, but stopped. His disciples, looking at the man, asked who had sinned, the man or his parents. They were not looking at the man. They were looking at his blindness and his perceived sin. Jesus saw the man, a lost sheep. He saw his suffering, his pain, his exclusion. He stoops down and makes a paste out of the dirt with his saliva, perhaps recalling how God created human beings out of the mud back in the first part of Genesis. He gives this man a new beginning. The man feels Jesus' touch as mud is spread on his eyes, and he hears Jesus' voice telling him to go wash. He does so, and Jesus fades from the scene. This man has been an outsider all of his life. He has not had a family outside of his parents and any siblings. He's not been allowed inside the temple, for the blind and the lame are excluded from the temple. And he may have even been denied access to the synagogue. And what happens when he goes to the pool and washes? No angels, no thundering voice from heaven. This is a quiet miracle. But what wonder must have been expressed on his face as he cupped the water over his eyes repeatedly, and washed, and opened them. He could see. This man who has never seen anything in his whole life can see. Imagine seeing for the first time, looking around at everything for the first time, seeing the light of the sun, not just feeling its warmth, to seeing everything as having beauty. That first hymn that we sang, "For the Beauty of the Earth," just seeing everything is beautiful. And then he's questioned by so many people about what happened. He tells him that he's been healed, and by whom? And what does the world tell him? That he is a sinner. That the man who healed him was a sinner. They want to see ugliness rather than beauty. As his understanding of the miracle and the identity of the healer deepens, so does their blindness. He confesses who Jesus is, and they throw him out. He's brought to the Pharisees to ask what's going on, and now we hear the division of opinion about Jesus. And they ask the man born blind what he thinks about him. He proclaims him a prophet. And there is no evidence that Jesus broke the law as much as they say that he did. For they're dealing with an oral law rather than the written law. Jesus is breaking man's law, not God's law. They ask him to tell the truth that this man who healed him is a sinner. And he answers that what he knows for sure is that he was blind and now he sees. And they ask him again what Jesus has done. And the man assumes control of the situation. He says, I told you and you wouldn't listen. Do you want to become his disciples? Do you want to go follow him? And their response, we are disciples of Moses. They get angry at him. The man says that if Jesus were not from God, he would be unable to do anything. They get really angry. They call him a sinner. They throw him out. They can't deal with the reality of what's happened. So they attack him. The man's parents don't stand up for him. They're too afraid of being excommunicated from the synagogue to speak up. And after he's thrown out on what should be the happiest day of his life, the day when everything is restored, the day when he's able to be back in community, the day he's thrown out, Jesus searches for him and finds him. Jesus asks him if he believes in the Son of Man. And the man who has been healed says, and who is he so that I may believe in him? This is his first time seeing Jesus. He's heard Jesus. He's felt his touch, but he's never seen him before. Jesus responds, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And the man responds, Lord, I believe, and worships him. Jesus says, I come into the world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. This man has spent his entire life being blind, navigating the darkness. He encounters the one who is light, who brings him out of both a physical and a spiritual darkness. He sees with clarity what the Pharisees, what his neighbors, and what his family do not. These signs and wonders, these miracles performed by Jesus, are not done so that people will place their trust and faith in Jesus. They are invitations to the possibilities of a new, more abundant life, the life of the kingdom. This man's eyes are opened. Think back to Adam and Eve, how their eyes were opened in a different way. Well, this is a new creation. Using the dust from which humans were made. Think back to Ash Wednesday when we talk about dust to dust. Jesus uses these elements to bring life and light. And we see, as happened with the woman at the well last week, that he doesn't understand immediately, this man who was born blind. He doesn't understand perfectly as soon as his eyes are opened. There's a growth of understanding that takes place. First, he knows this man's name, Jesus. When pressed, he calls him a prophet. Later, he confesses that he's from God. And when he has a face-to-face conversation with Jesus, he confesses faith in the Son of Man. We can think back to Isaiah. Jesus talks repeatedly about the one who is coming, who is going to open the eyes of the blind. And he's talking more about spiritual blindness and physical blindness, that it is a sign that the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is being ushered in. Those who are spiritually blind receive the light of Christ's word, and by the Spirit working in them, their eyes are open and they can see. What happened to the Pharisees? The light was so blinding that they shut their eyes and refused to see, and that is what Jesus is warning against. So on what should have been the happiest day of his life, the day when this man was given the ability to become a full member of the community, he was cast out of the synagogue. In his time of pain and loss, his parents refused to stand up for him. His friends failed to recognize him. It is at this point that Jesus comes to him and offers him a better and deeper relationship to replace what has been lost. His identity has been changed from beggar to witness to disciple. In some ways, it echoes that first reading. Remember back to that just a few minutes ago? Saul has been rejected as the king, and Samuel has been asked to go and anoint a new king. And so he goes, and he looks at the handsome strapping sons of Jesse. And he looks at the oldest one and thinks, this must be the one that the Lord has chosen. And he's told, no, God has rejected that one. He looks at the second one and says, well, surely this must be the one. And the Lord says, no, I've rejected him too. He goes through seven of Jesse's sons, all the sons that Jesse has thought fit to present to the prophet, who then says, are these all of your sons? And Jesse says, well, there's one more, the youngest, but he's out there taking care of the sheep. Pretty much, you don't want him. And he, of course, is the one, David. We are told, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Do we see simply as mortals see? Or do we see with the eyes of the heart? Now that our lives have been illumined by the one who is light, can we see? Or do we put up our hands blinded by that light and reject it? Can we look, as that blind man must have done, at the beauty that surrounds us, the beauty of the earth? Or do we want to just see ugliness? Can we say, as that blind man must have, I once was blind, but now I see? Can we say with him, what amazing grace? And can we